Hang on. Sorry, I had my Spotify playing, and usually when I do a live, it will cut my music, and today it didn't. It was just like all the hip-hop was playing while I was trying to talk, so sorry about that. All right, it's Q&A day, so for all my newbies, if you're wondering, Q&A in Facebook is very casual, as you can tell. I like to, in the winter, I'm usually a little bit more dressed, or I'm in my office, or whatever, but when it is beautiful outside, I take advantage of the beauty of the outside and kind of just give you guys a little sneak peek in my life. I'm sitting here by my pool. I'm actually in the shade though. We have like one end of our pool is shady in the morning and then the other end is not. Let me show you. All right, first of all, I just got to warn you guys, things are not that tidy around here, but here's my little pool. We have a little pool and we are in the process. We have speakers back there, some Bluetooth speakers. So a lot of times I listen to self-development while I'm laying by the pool. I'm sure my neighbors are like, wow, I'm learning a lot about thought work these days. Or I listen to booty jams. And then, but we need to clean up and I really want to decorate it some. But we have, for all of you who don't know, we have cable getting laid at our house. I'm not joking, but we have three versions of cable. So we have fiber for, that's the primary. The secondary backup is what they're laying right now. It's going to be our new secondary is Ethernet. I think it's Ethernet something or other, but it's from Comcast. So like one is from United Fiber, another is Comcast, and then the third is Verizon, like a wireless thing. So we have a router that basically our goal is like it is bedlam if we go down at this point. So we're trying to make sure that internet is always running here. And so we have three systems. And so if one farts out, then another one backs the other one up and like it automatically switches. So this is part of the benefits of having your chief technology officer sleeping with you. So there you go, y'all. All right, so it's Q&A day. One of the questions that I want to answer was one that as I was just coming in here to say like, hey, it's Q&A day. Someone asked, I got on the scale and I was excited. I know it's supposed to be just data. Is it okay to be excited? Yes, it's okay to be excited. But here's what I want you guys to think about. It is just data. So it's not like, I think a lot of times when you guys think about when something is just data, that means it's boring or that it's whatever. It's like, remember, if it's just data, it has no feeling attached to it yet. It's just, this is the number. So if your thought is, hell yeah, look at me, I'm doing the things or whatever, then yeah, like eat that up all day long because that is a thought that's super useful. That is a thought that is allowing you to take ownership and stuff. But it is also data. So if you have a thought, let's say you do lose weight and you're not excited, your first thought is, oh, I hope this keeps on going. Like, and you feel nervous or trepidation, then what you know is that you're having your data thought and you're generating a thought that's not useful going forward. It is the same thing with if you gain weight. So let's say you weigh in and you gain weight and you're disappointed. Probably a useful thought. You don't want to be like, all right, you know, like I ate my face off this week and gained some weight, even though it has nothing to do with what you want. Sometimes we forget that there are negative emotions that are super useful. So like if I get on the scale and I've been like eating and drinking all week and I gain, I don't want to be excited. I also don't want to like beat myself up, but I probably actually would choose to be disappointed because like, I know I could do better than this. So how am I going to do better? Like, this is like, I'm glad I'm seeing this. Like I'm disappointed, but like, thank God I'm paying attention. What is it that I was doing this week that I need to work on? Like I can feel serious about it. I can feel focused. I can feel a lot of things. You don't have to feel beat down by it. And you don't have to feel terrible by it and stuff. So I think a lot of times people get confused when we say the numbers are, it's data and stuff. The real goal is to notice what you do think and then ask yourself, is this a thought that's going to give me like some useful actions. Like, is what I'm thinking right now, does it feel productive? Does it feel useful? Does it feel good? Does it feel whatever you want it to feel, right? Then what you do is you want to make sure that after you do that, that's like, that's what's always going to drive your actions. So when you guys are weighing in, one of the, y'all are probably going to get the biggest crotch shot ever. I don't know if you can y'all even, yeah, y'all can pretty much almost see downtown, but you can't see all the way downtown, but you can see like all the scars and stuff. One of the things I like to think about, and I want you guys to think about, is when you are weighing in and then like you have your thoughts and whatnot, get them to be productive for you. Get them to be generating an energy that's going to allow you to, on your action line, evaluate the things you did and didn't do for the week. For you to be able to think about, like, you know, what do I want to keep doing this week? What are the things that, like, what am I willing to try this week? What are the things that I want to, like, I'm going to look at all my food and see what I ate this week. And if I'm not losing or I am losing or whatever, are there things I'm prepared to try to do a little different this week? Is there something I can level up? Is there something I can do? I did a call on Thursday night where I talked about good, better, best, and I am going to be doing this new exercise, and I'm just going to raw film it with my camera and stuff, where it helps you rank your foods. Because what I want for you guys is to kind of see when we're doing realistic plans and stuff. I'm really right now, face down studying how to best teach realistic planning in a way that you guys really understand, not only the spirit of it, but how to do it and how to transition. Like, how do you take realistic plans and keep getting them like more and more realistic for where you are right now? A realistic plan says, this is my real life right now. This is what I'm actually willing to do. So a realistic plan means it's doable. It means I can do this. It doesn't mean that it is like, it is a plan that allows me to emotionally eat. That's not what a realistic plan is about. A realistic plan is, this is what I realistically eat, and now what I want to do is I want to be very aware of it so that I can give myself the opportunity to figure out what things I'm prepared to start changing, what things I'm prepared to question if I need in my life, which things am I willing to be a little uncomfortable with. Hi, baby. I heard this noise. I was like, what's that? I think my son just raised his window. Like, what things am I prepared to, you know, start questioning? Do I need any more? Do I need as much of it? And stuff like that. Okay. So let's see what questions you guys have. Let me go to my filters. Here we go. I have to look up everything. Hang on just a second. Someone told me in the Facebook group that, told me you once said the burp, oops, hang on, this thing's scrolling, hang on. The burp is pasture plus two. Can you elaborate? A lot of people, when they're burping, it means they've got a lot of food in their stomach, or they have enough to where they're, that is a signal that it's time to stop. Not everybody, but that is a signal that a lot of us experience, that if we're eating and suddenly we're like burp or something, it probably means our stomach has had enough. Our mind hasn't caught up to it just yet. So it's just one of those things to look out for. I'm having a tough time getting myself committed to my weight loss. I feel like I go brain dead when I'm around food. Well, you need to figure out, like, you're, first of all, you can't be going brain dead, otherwise you wouldn't eat. So I really want you to question this, Patty. I go brain dead around food. Well, number one, that's not helpful to ever think that. You might see food and have some thoughts. You need to be telling yourself, when I'm around food, I obviously have thoughts. I probably need to slow down. I need to figure out a way to slow down to figure out what I am thinking, why I'm wanting to eat. What am I telling myself? That is a way more useful way to think about it. It might feel like you're going brain dead, but I'm going to tell you, if you keep believing that horse shit and you don't start telling yourself how you want to show up for it, you'll just keep checking out. And if you, like, if you're having a hard time getting committed to losing your weight, you need to figure out, what are you making the commitment mean? Like, I promise all of you, I talk about this all the time. Those of you who are having a hard time committing, it is because whatever you're committing to, like, Write down what you think you need to do to lose weight. Like, and don't just put the four fucking basics down. I get so pissed when y'all do this. I'll say, like, well, what do you need to do? I need to do the four basics. But what does that even mean to you? Like, what does the four basics mean to you? Like, I need to wait until I'm hungry. And my thoughts about being hungry are, well, I'm going to have to wait until I'm hungry. And I know that's going to be difficult. And I'm going to, like, you know, I'm going to get lightheaded. Like, whatever. Like, really look into, what does it mean? What is it going to be for you? So write down, if I'm going to be losing weight, I'm going to be doing these things. And then, what are my thoughts about those things? I think that's going to be hard, or it's going to be uncomfortable. You'll notice that commitment comes when something feels doable, and commitment comes when something, when you have tapped on your why. And not just one why, but when you really understand why you want it. Not just, I just want to lose weight, I'm so tired of this. That's not a strong why. Tired of it is not a strong why. Like, sit around, and like, so why are you tired? Tell me the 15 ways you're fucking sick and tired of dealing with this. And then tell me the 15 things that you can't wait to be able to do when you start to lose weight. Not when you've lost weight. A lot of you make this mistake too. Like, we'll talk about our why, and we'll talk about, like, why is this important and stuff. And you guys will go to, like, the end of the journey. Well, there's like a year from now. Like, we got a long way to go. So what are you looking forward to in the next, like, 2 weeks to feeling? And what are you looking for? What changes in the next 2 weeks are you looking forward to experiencing? Like, I can't wait to wake up in 2 weeks and see the scale go down. I can't wait to wake up, like, in a few days and feel that sense of accomplishment because I've been sticking to my plan. Like, that's how you get committed. Being committed is one, understanding what you're committing to. And if the picture that in your head is sucktastic, like you're describing it, like you're going to be driving the nails up your veins, then you've got to go back through, and you can't describe it that way. So if you attended the Ending Sabotage virtual workshop, we did this in that workbook. We are, I think Sadie is working with the video people now. We are getting close to being able to get all the replays and stuff. When that happens, when we get those things, if you are lacking commitment stuff, you have to go through the Ending Sabotage virtual workshop. You need to do Breaking Self-Sabotage first, and you do all the worksheets, all of them, not just some of them, and not just listen to me. You actually do the writing. Seriously, then you go back and then do the ending, because the virtual live workshop, guys, it took more of the, like, we broke down stories, and then we broke down the actions, and we broke down, like, the planning to get things done. You guys, make sure you're doing that work. But yeah, with commitment, it's really important. Hey, Roz, you said you had, like, light bulbs and stuff. Will you type in what your light bulb was on that? That would be awesome. But, like, commitment is, like, understanding what I'm committing to. It's, like, these are the things it's going to take for the next couple weeks for me to see some progress. And my thoughts about those things are, and break them all down. Like, what are your thoughts about drinking water? And what are your thoughts about sleep? And what are your thoughts about plus two? What are your thoughts about minus two? What's your thoughts about the realistic plan? What's your thoughts about assessing? What are your thoughts about the basics? And clean all that shit up. And cleaning that up means take a look at it and ask, damn, is the thoughts I have about this motivating me to take action? Or making me dread taking action? Because if it's full of dread or fear or whatever, no. Guys, that is sabotage. Those are the thoughts that will always, in the moment when it's time to execute, it will feel like a struggle. It will feel like I don't even want to bother with it. I'll just start that one tomorrow. That's really important. And then you figure out your why. Why do you want this? What are you sick and tired of? What can you not wait for in the next 2 weeks? What's going to be amazing that you're going to experience? What's going to be awesome that you get to experience? Write that stuff down. Write. I decided to start with smaller portions since I have a tendency to still clean my plate. I realized that I don't need much food and had a loss this week. Awesome. But for some reason, I have the thought leaving bites behind will be more difficult. Should I work on that or just focus on decreasing my portions? I lost weight this week. I think it's the same. You're leaving bites behind. You know what you're doing, Amanda? You're leaving the bites in the kitchen before you even get to the plate. That's fine. You're practicing. You're still practicing what's important, which is I'm thinking about eating what I need, not what I want. That's the real thing. Eventually, if you want to practice leaving bites behind, for a lot of you, leaving bites behind at a restaurant is a really good opportunity to practice that. Like if you go out to eat or something where you can't control what's on your plate, that's a really good opportunity to practice it and see it. I don't think there's a problem at all with this. I do the same thing. Oh, it's not Amanda. It's Amaka. Sorry, Amaka. I don't have my real glasses on. Just reading blind here. I think it's totally fine to do it that way. I often do that. Like there are just sometimes like I know that I don't want to be like I just want to be able to finish what's on my plate. So I just make a smaller amount. I just decide ahead of time to leave the bites behind. I'm just leaving them in the kitchen rather than having to leave them on the plate, and that's fine. I actually get scared when I lose weight. How do I figure out how to get out of that? You don't need to get out of it. You need to figure out what's triggering it. So scared is always a feeling triggered by a thought. So I lose weight. That makes, like, when I lose weight, I start thinking these things. What I would do, Susan, is I would write those things down so that you're very aware of why you're scared. It doesn't sound like you know why. It sounds like you just don't want to be scared. The best way to not be scared is to look at the reasons why. And then what you do is you start thinking about, is that valid? Is that even true? Is there something else that could be true about this? Like a lot of times when people start losing weight, if they're scared, one of the things that they're scared is that they can't keep it up, or they get scared that people will start noticing them or whatever. And you just start looking at it and you start telling yourself like, oh, no wonder I'm scared. Because if I keep thinking I'm not going to be able to keep this up, then you start asking yourself, is there anything I'm doing that realistically I can't keep up? Do I actually like the stuff I'm doing? You start giving your brain contrary evidence. That is how you start getting out of it. But you can't get out of it until you know what you're getting out of. And then if it's like, I'm afraid people will start noticing me. It's like, well, what's the worst thing that happens if people notice me being uncomfortable? Why would I be uncomfortable? And it could be something from your past. It could be just something you've always told yourself or whatever it is. It's fine. Just be aware of what those things are. And then you go back to the same thing. What else could be true in this moment? You know, what else could be true? My mind's having a hard time accepting that I don't have to be starving all the time in order to lose weight. All right. So what? Your brain's having a hard time accepting it. Your brain's wrong. That's what I tell myself, my brain all the time. It's like, I don't care, brain, if you want to accept it or not, but you are wrong. You can keep thinking we have to starve, but you're just wrong about that. Like, you have to start telling yourself you're wrong. I believe this comes from fear that I'll slip into my old patterns without realizing. Clearly this isn't true or helpful, as I have lost 15 pounds since joining. I've done models, but I think I just need a little Corinne in my face about it. This is the thing, Lauren. So you said, I'll slip into my old patterns. That is the one that's fearing you. So here's what I would do with that. I would tell myself, hey, brain, you're wrong about that. Here's how I know I won't slip into old patterns. Because now I plan my food. Now I journal. Like, there's no slipping anymore. Because I stay very aware of myself. It's the best gift I've ever given to myself. I used to slip because I didn't pay attention like I do now. Now I actually pay attention to what I think. Now I actually pay attention to my actions and my stuff. I actually do my worksheets and I do my planner. There's no reason for me to fear that anything's going to go wrong because I'll catch it. Anything that might start happening, I'll know it rather than waking up 15 pounds later going, what the fuck? I've been eating. I didn't even know it was happening. I need help with better thoughts. Right now I'm thinking this isn't working. Okay, so you like... tell me, Lisa, give me what's not working. Like when we say this isn't working, we need to know what do we even mean by that? So a lot of times, like if, let's say we're not losing weight, we'll say like, this diet's not working, when we're not even following it. So like, we have to tell ourselves the truth. Is it, this isn't working, or is a, like, is the better thought, I still have overeats. Let's get to work on that. I'm still eating before I'm hungry. Time to work on that. A lot of times what we do is like, we do, I don't know, Lisa, if this is you, you can tell me more in the comments if you want, but this is what I notice a lot of people do. They will say things like, oh, you know, this isn't working. And I'll say, well, tell me, like, how, like, have you been 100% on plan? And like, have you made all your plans, blah, 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 for the last 30 days? Well, no. Okay. Then this hasn't been given a chance to work yet. That's not the problem. The problem is I'm blaming a diet or I'm blaming a process, when what I need to do is look at, I know the reason why whatever this isn't working means. Like, I know the reason why I gained weight this week, or I know the reason why the scale didn't move this week was because of these things. So if these caused it, what can I do about it? That's the better question versus, you know, this isn't working, I knew it. And because that just means that it's feeding old belief systems. So you're caught up in your old belief systems rather than saying, you know what? I'm going to be figuring this out. If my results aren't coming, that means I could try some new stuff. I can shake some things up. I can take a look at things. Or maybe this is just a week where I'm not supposed to lose weight. I did do the things. Not every week is a weight loss week. It's ridiculous of me to think this isn't working if for a week or two I didn't lose, although I'm doing my hunger scale and I'm planning my food and I'm moving and I'm drinking water and all this other stuff. Let's see. This was a part one to my question. Sorry, I have had a great month, my best ever. For the last 3 weeks, I have been okay with no loss. This fourth week, it's harder to accept. So then here's what I would do. I have had a great month, my best ever. For the last 3 weeks, I've been okay. So if you haven't been losing, Lisa, and I'm really glad that you're proud of all your stuff and you want to make a change, like if you want to see the scale going, it's not because this isn't working. Here's the better thought. What am I, like, I just want you to ask a question. If you didn't believe it wasn't working, if you believed this will totally work, your action would become, what am I willing to try this week that's new? What am I willing to shake up this week? Am I, like, can I go back through and find, is there a food I'm ready to let go of a few times a week to see if it makes a difference? That would be your, if your thought was more about, like, rather than this isn't working, and your thought turned more into, I'm determined to make this work, and you switch gears that way, you will find that you will start using really good questions on your action line that gets you to dive into, you know, I really do want this to work. And so if I do, I need to figure out, are there things that I can do differently this week? I've been showing up. I've already got really good habits. So what's next? I'm a May baby and I'm having trouble with a thought. Now that I am waiting until I'm hungry to eat, I'm not hungry for dinner until 7, but I go to bed at 9. Running through my head is, I cannot eat within 3 hours prior to bedtime. Ignore the thought and adhere to your hunger. Yes, that's the answer. There is no real magic science out there. Like, I think a lot of people, it's good for them to wait 3 hours before bedtime, more for comfortable sleep and digestion. But if you're not getting hungry until 7, wait until you're hungry. It's like, it's not like you're going to break out in fat because you ate at 7 versus 6. That's just not going to really be a thing. Now, if you want to be eating at 6 versus 7, then dial back. If you're having a snack in the afternoon, I guarantee if you eat half of that, you'll be hungry by 6. Or dial back your lunch just a tad, so that while, like, you'll back your hunger up an hour. You can always do that too. I have found I have a consistent thought that judgment and self-criticism are what get me to my goals. What kind of TD? All right, Danielle, let me ask you this. A lot of times what you guys do is you put your goal as just your weight, but when you get there, do you love yourself? Like, what is the real goal? A lot of you need to think about, like, when it comes to getting your goals, it would be like saying, I've got a kid who gets straight A's. You know how? I beat the shit out of him every night. And he gets his homework done, and he's so fucking scared, he comes home with straight A's all the time. Winner. Great results. He's honor roll. He's a straight A student. Principal's list. Probably going to get a scholarship. But I had to whoop his ass the whole time. That's what a lot of us think that we're doing. We're like, oh, but I get my goals by abuse and terror and submission. If getting your goal means that you had to do it at the expense of your self-love and of yourself, you didn't meet the goal. You need to really understand what your goals are. Are your goals just to weigh a certain amount, or is your goal to be proud of yourself? Is your goal to be confident when you get there? Is your goal to lose your weight, never worry that it's coming back? Is your goal to lose your weight and have, like, and be actually genuinely happy? The number just gives us direction. But there's more to the result line. There's more to what our goals are. And so if your goal is to actually get there and be proud and love yourself and be confident and be a healthy, like, whatever, right? Then you beating yourself into submission doesn't achieve the goal. All it does is get you there, a shell of yourself, terrified of your own stuff, fearing you'll make a mistake. I don't want any of you to lose your weight and be scared of yourself and to think that you have to stay in perfection mode and stuff, because I watch a lot of you do this. You end up becoming just as bad as someone who abuses a woman on the inside. And that's no way to live. I don't want that for you guys. What kind of TDLs and journal prompts have been the most beneficial for you in the limiting belief that I'm not good enough? It's really been just honestly super simple. I tell myself every day, I just write about all the ways that I am good enough. And then I'll do, like, work on here. I do a lot of work on the things that are, like, right about me. I'll make a list of the ways that I think I'm not good enough, and I'll go to argue why that's a lie. So a lot of times I just take those thoughts and then I just kind of argue with myself about why that's a lie, why it's not true. That's always been very helpful. One of the things you guys are going to love, so I'm going to pimp the new, oh my God, I printed the new planner yesterday, the final version that went to, the planner is in the hands of a man named Joe Foley now. Joe Foley is the man who's responsible for getting it printed and getting it into the fulfillment center. So just so everybody knows, it went yesterday. So we're just like, huh? So I have the raw version that I had to print it, and then I had to do the final proof, like make sure the pages lined up. And we put in there, three things that I'm grateful for. This one will make you feel good when you do it. Like, it's for those of you who struggle with self-worth and stuff, we put a lot of stuff in there about self-worth. And then for all of you, like, y'all, so let me just tell you a little bit about the new planner, because I'm so stinking excited for it. And for everybody that has ordered one of these, our current planner's great. Do not worry. I know we have a lot of newbies in here and be like, oh my God, I just ordered one. It's fine. It's going to take it probably 6 weeks before this one even gets into the fulfillment center. So about the time that you're running out of this one, you can order the new one. Godspeed, Joe Foley. No truer words have ever been spoken. Oh, so one of the neat things that we did. So let me just tell you a little bit about it. The first half of the planner, we took, so like all the weigh-in sheets and everything, we moved them to the front half so that you guys didn't have them like staggered anymore. So that it's basically like we gave you 8 weekly planning sheets, and we changed the Hello scale to a weekly review and weigh-in sheet. So you have like 8 of those. So you'll just do them one at a time. We have 2 monthly planning ones in there. We gave you, oh my God, there's so many good things. So you have a 60-day goal setting sheet where it takes you through setting your 60-day goal. We did a lot of work in this one. You're going to have a lot of questions. We're always asking you what could get in your way today and what are you going to do about it. We wanted to make sure that you were thinking about things that could get in your way and what you could do about it. We have a lot of stuff in there about how are you going to work with your hunger scale today and stuff like that. So there's all that. There's also a worksheet to for every time you get a new planner for you to work on your ideal day. So we put that in there so that each time you start like really working on your ideal day. So that is in there. That's new. And what else? So there's weekly planning and weekly assessment sheets, the monthly planning, and then the dailies. The dailies are really good. So you have your 24-hour plan and then you have your assessment, and it looks different than it does now. So Well, it's got gratitude on there. I can't even remember what else on there. You're going to really like it. But the back is what's really interesting. So, you know how we've always had the model stuff? We've actually, now don't freak out. Listen to me when I say this. We took the model pages out, but we added something better. So, I have been really thinking about the model. And how do we teach you thought work? This is all coming out in the next couple months, but I really want to start teaching more of the think, feel, do cycle, which is the middle of the model. And I want to get you guys really good at knowing how you think, how you feel, and how you do. And so we're changing things up. We're going to be reteaching it. You still, if you learn the model, you're learning everything. It's the same exact concept that what you think is what you feel, what you do. We're just simplifying it to three steps. So, yes, it will be available for download. It will be available for download when the planner comes out into the fulfillment center. We're putting it all out at the same time. And then, so in the back, we have journal prompts for people. So, like, we have these sections where there's, like, five questions. So, if you're struggling with a plateau, we gave you five journal prompts to use for the month to really help you bust a plateau. If you're struggling with finding your negative two, your plus two, realistic planning, we took the most common things that you guys struggle with and we gave you the journal prompts to be like, all right, work on these for a few days. This should unlock some stuff. We also gave you 30-day journal prompts for self-love, time management, body image. I think body image is one of them. Relationships, so that the most popular topics you guys always want to work on, in the back you have these things. It's like, well, if you want to work on self-love this month, here are the 30 days of questions. If you want to work on your body image, here are the 30-day questions. Like, we started doing all of that. And so when you do your journal, you're going to have the think, feel, do boxes at the bottom, and it says, I'm currently thinking, like you have your current, I'm currently thinking, and then over here it's like, and I could be thinking this. I think it is such a simpler, cleaner way to explain all of it. And we are going to train you guys. Do not worry. This is just like the sneak peek. But we just have so many good things coming, y'all. Seriously, like, God, the next few months, we just have amazing shit coming right at you. The July is going to be off the hook fun. We're doing basics boot camp. We're going to retire Gift of Fat, and we're going to start calling it the Basics Boot Camp. And even Sadie's going to do us a camo logo for this thing. But we're going to do Basics Boot Camp in July, so that everybody's going to, during my birthday month, we're going to work our basics like bosses. So anyway, I'm just excited for all the things coming. So we have lots and lots of neat stuff coming at you guys. It's just good. All right. I don't even know how I got off on that tangent, but here we go. For the weekly planner, do you write all the food you think you will have? Is that part of food prepping so you're prepared for the week? Yes, Larissa. So, basically I have always done it this way. I like to do my weekly planning is I like to first and foremost think about, all right, if I'm going to go out or I'm going to be eating something, whatever, I go ahead and fill those things in first. And then I backfill the easiest meal. Like, I almost always eat the same breakfast. I just throw that in there. And then I'm only left with the holes that are the ones that we're going to be a little bit more creative or a little bit more spontaneous or whatever. So I put or not spontaneous, but you know what I mean? Like, the ones that I'm going to have to like find, if I need to get a recipe or if I need to do something. But I like it because I like to plan for the week. It just allows me to make my, grocery list easier. What's the June focus? June is, we're doing a book study. We're reading Chasing Cupcakes. We developed a study guide for all of you for the book. The author she's coming into the membership on June 29th. We're doing a live call with her. And you can do a Q&A and all the things, but we're going to be studying it. And we're giving you two guides. One is our custom guide where we just kind of gave you our, like, here's the most important things out of the chapters and stuff. And we gave you, like, here are the chapters to read this week. Our calls, we're going to have a call each week where a coach is going to be discussing the lessons from Chasing Cupcakes. And then we also gave you a guide. If you want to do all the questions from the book, we put together a guide so that you have, like, a place where you can do all the writing and you can put it into a binder if you want to. So a lot of, like, I love that kind of shit. So, like, whenever I read a book where I'm the nerd who's like, what? There's a PDF download where I can, like, do the work and everything. And seriously, Chris said, I have never seen somebody have more folders and 3-ring binders than you. I have got binders upon binders of study guides and things I've printed and work and all this stuff. So there you go. But that's what we're doing in June. So June is Chasing Cupcakes. You can order it. And it's in your, it's Chasing Cupcakes. If you want to go to pnp411.com/faves, FAVES. And you can order the book there. So, and I would wish that you guys would order it through my store. Not because, I mean, yeah, I get about like 50 cents off every book. Like, trust me, Amazon is not exactly making it rain on the queen. But the reason why I want you to order it from my store, I want to do more book studies this year. And I want to be able to go to a writer of a book and say, here's how many books I can sell for you. But I need you to come into my tribe, and I need you to, like, give me content that the rest of the public doesn't get. And I need you to come in and talk to my people and answer questions. And so, like, if I can say, like, and I, you know, I can sell a lot of books for you, then, you know, whatever. So just to be honest, I do get a little bit of a fee from Amazon, but Amazon be cheap. Trust me, it ain't much. It buys my notebooks. If I work late hours, 3 to 11, when should I stop eating? 8 p.m. usually doesn't work out. Whenever you're, like, I would just stop eating when you're, like, just eat when you're hungry and stop when you're satisfied. Guys, don't get too concerned about when should I start and stop eating. You eat when you're hungry and you stop when you're satisfied. I continue to override the sentences I have and just eat. I am up 18 pounds since March. All right, Kathleen, you need to know what sentences you have. And you're going to need to do, like, are you doing writing? Are you writing these sentences down? And are you writing about, and the cost that it's caught, like, the this is the price I'm paying. Like, this is what's happening. This is what I don't like about it. The other thing is, why are you eating? Like, who gives a shit that you're overriding? Like, you're just trying, like, you need to figure out why you're wanting to eat and gain 18 pounds. What are you running from right now? That's the real question, Kathleen. You need to take that shit over to Ask Coaches or get on a coaching call. We need to figure out what is it that you are needing the food for? And it ain't, I just love food. I love food too. You know what I do? I eat it when I'm hungry and I stop when I'm satisfied. That's how much I love food. I love me through the process too. So we need to figure out what it is that you're using food for, more so than we need, like, you don't need to worry about your excuses near as much as, like, first, a lot of times, guys, when you're gaining a lot of weight or whatever, I want you to be thinking about, why is food such an option for me? It's not just my excuses. There's no reason, if I have goals and I love myself and I want more for myself, that I would overeat all because of some shit I said in my head. And I want you guys to think about that. I'm working on my hunger scale this week. What is a good rule of thumb for how long a meal should be lasting before I'm hungry again? Usually for me, I can go a good 4 to 6 hours. Now, I put a lot of protein and fats in my meals. Like, when I eat a salad, I have a ton of vegetables. I've got egg. It's got bacon in it. It's got ranch dressing on it. So, it's going to last me a while. So, for me, it's 4 to 6. For some of you, it may not be that long. But I've just gotten, like, to where it just takes me longer before I actually get hungry. I would just, at least 4. Let's just do at least 4 for now. For some of you, 6 may be a stretch. But I'm just going to tell you, the more you get to where you delight in your life and you don't need food for entertainment and you're not constantly wondering if you're hungry. Like, a lot of times I just don't sit around and wonder if I'm hungry. I'm just trusting that my body will let me know and that I don't need to be overly focused on it. Sometimes I think when you guys are wondering about hunger all the time, it's because you can't wait to eat. Like, you still have some thoughts that the food is going to be fun or entertaining or get your mind off things and stuff like that. Even if you're waiting for hunger, just like, there's that anticipation of what it's going to do. Like, I just don't sit around and think about it that much, if that makes sense. Given the riot, this is a good question. Given the riots and protests, I'm having this thought that working on myself is just more white privilege. Do you have suggestions for other thoughts? Yeah, that's called a waste of time. Working on myself is a human privilege. There is not one person suffering in the world whose suffering is less because you decide to overeat or you don't get to the bottom of your emotional shit. That is like I just always like to tell myself, sometimes I have ridiculous thoughts. Me sitting around thinking I have white privilege because I am not emotionally eating and that I am learning how to eat like the good Lord intended, that might be a waste of time. Who in the world is getting helped when I think that? Like, and here's the thing. It's like, if you actually like want to help the world, go help the world. And you don't need a snack to go do it. That's just some of that bullshit that we think is useful and sounds good and everything. And it's like, it's so ridiculous, right? So you see, but I'm not overeating. That certainly doesn't help anyone. Exactly. It doesn't help you or anyone else. But I'm sitting around ruminating all day and not doing more than the minimum. Yeah, so here, like, you want to talk about, like, and I don't even think this is a white privilege thing. This is just, like, how we think, right? I'm going to sit around and think about how awful it is in the world and do nothing with my life. That's not helpful. Why don't you just live the best life? Be an example to other people of how to, like, love yourself. Like, here's the one thing I know that we really need more of in the world right now is more people being an example of love. More people being an example of believing in themselves. More people being an example of, like, it is an honor and a privilege to evolve myself. We need more people being vocal and demonstrating that. What we don't need is more people sitting around worrying, ruminating, thinking worst case scenario. It doesn't change the world. There is not one person who sits around, like, I've never seen a group of people line up and march behind the best warrior or the person who sat around feeling scared and sorry for themselves. Nobody lines up behind that person. They're like, no. Who, like, where's Martin Luther King? I don't think he sat around and worried. You know what he did? He got out there. And he was an example of what was possible. Oprah. Rachel Hollis. There's all kinds of people who, like, we follow them because they show us. Like, yeah, we should love more. We should care more. We should constantly be thinking about how can I change people's lives? Like, I know, like, a lot of you, like somebody said, like, how many days a week do you have in your thing? I just optimize my time. I'm not ruminating. I absolutely know what's going on in the news. If y'all know me, I'm a news follower. But you know what I always think? The world's going to change because I'm figuring out how to change the world. The world's going to change because I'm showing up when it's hard. I'm constantly thinking, like, what can we do? How can we, like, improve things? When you're in that mindset, the world lines up behind you. That, like, I don't even think of it as a privilege. I think it's the human privilege. Seriously. I want you to think more, Lee, about, like, working on myself is a privilege, and I should take advantage of it. Because it helps me and others. It was a good question, Lee. In the process of redoing my plus two after 10-pound loss, my twos. Sometimes I feel like I don't want any more, but I'm still hungry. When I stop, I am legitimately hungry in an hour. I would just eat a little bit more. Sometimes I feel like I don't want any more. Ask yourself why you don't want any more. Just make sure you're not having a thought about it. This happens every now and then. It's like, well, okay. So I don't want any more because this will help me lose weight faster. Like, here's what I want you to do. I want you to be like, I don't want any more because I can tell I'm at my plus two. So just look for that. I joined after the workshop, which was awesome. Why can't I get motivated to start planning? I just went back to work after being off 8 weeks due to the virus. Lots of stress eating. You're going to have to quit waiting to be motivated. So this is a huge thing. It's like, I don't know why. Like, I just can't get motivated to start planning. One, it's probably because you have a douchebag thought about it. Like, you know, oh, I've got so much going on at work. I have to go back. I don't know if I want to add planning to all this. That's probably one demotivating thought that you might be having. Another one is thinking that it's going to take a lot of time. Planning doesn't take time. You know what it does? It saves time. The rest of the day, I won't have to worry about what to eat. The other thing could be a lot of times people don't want to plan because they know the moment they plan, they take away their stress eating. Sometimes we're not motivated to plan because we're going to take away the foods that we are going to indulge in when we are stressed and not managing our mind. So you have a couple of options. One is, Kathy, is you need to work on why you going back to work is stressful. It's because of a thought. The other thing is stop waiting to be motivated. Start telling yourself, I don't need to be motivated to plan. I just need to do it a few days when I'm completely unmotivated, and I'll do the easiest part. And I will plan super realistically so that I can make it easy to do for myself. Like, I'm just going to plan my stress eating foods right now. That's what I would do if I was you, Kathy. And who's the other, I'm not planning either, frowny face? Erin, go get a piece, get off the Facebook Live, go get a piece of paper or your planner and make your plan for the day, and you make it realistic, eight or better, right now. Here's the thing that's also going to be in the new planner. We have a section. We changed up that where you write your food in. It says, am I an eight or better on following this plan today? If not, what am I going to change? All of you can start that right now. On a scale of 1 to 10, are you an eight or better of eating it? And if you are not, an eight or better just means I feel confident. I am an eight or better on a scale of 1 to 10, with 10 being all in, that I will do this. If you are not an eight, change the shit on the plan before you even get started. That's how you build commitment, and that's how you get motivated to keep planning, because you start proving to yourself you can start planning in a better way. I'm a newbie, and I'm on module 3 of NoBS, working on the diet rules worksheet. I don't think I have any rules that are working for me right now, but I would like to make some. Should I do that now or wait until I have maybe identified some? I would just put down some that you want to try. Just say, like, I'm going to try these for a couple weeks and see what happens. I think that would be fine. I have a friend that I got to start listening to your free podcast, and we've been planning and doing really good, but we get together once a week and both say fuck it and get dinner and donuts once a week. What are some things I can start a conversation with her on how to continue hanging out without the fuck it eating or just making healthy choices? I truly value our friendship, and it truly seems like we have been getting together to eat just in the last few months. Here's what I would tell her. Say, like, hey, I love our friendship. I'm not having donuts anymore. And I'm not doing this. I'm going to be eating healthy. If you want to keep eating them, it's fine. But I just want to let you know what I'm doing. And then you just get together with her. You just have that conversation. Here's the thing I want you to tell yourself, though, Bridget. If she's all upset and, like, the best thing that you two have is donuts and fucking eating, you need to decide, okay, if she's going to be really upset that y'all can't just binge together, is she a friend or is she an eating partner? A real friend doesn't care what goes in your mouth. When I go out with my friends, we all eat and drink whatever we want. My friend does not care what I eat or drink. You know what my friend cares about? Being with me. And so I don't think this is like a confrontational thing. I think this is just like, hey, I can't wait to get together. I just want to let you know I'm not eating donuts and stuff. I'm going to be eating like healthy because I'm changing some stuff, but I totally want you to eat what you want and it's not going to bother me. So if you want to eat like I'm eating or you want to eat like you eat, I just want to get together and still have a good time. I would have that conversation every single day. And then you have now presented her a circumstance and she is going to tell you she's either okay with it or she's not. And if she's not okay with that, then you just have to decide, okay, I really value this friendship, but if like, do I want to be that good of friends with someone who the food is more important than the time we spend together? Are you going to open up October for virtual since it's sold out? I really wanted to do to come, but it already sold out when I joined. I don't think we're going to do virtual for October. We're going to do the July one as the virtual. We were talking about even the 2021 schedule. I would like to only do one virtual experience a year for camp. And let me tell you why. It puts a big layer of complication onto an event. So for those of you, just so you know, we do have the virtual July camp coming. We have to have a separate staff that actually runs the virtual experience. So we actually have to have the live stream software people. We have to have the person who's going to be all of the video that we do, that the live video stuff that we do just for the in-person people. There's a separate team that's involved for the virtual side. So it's not like we just flip on a webcam and go. We want to create an experience for you. So like I want the people who, let me just tell you, I've been going to some virtual experiences and a lot of them blow goats and mine are not going to be that way. So we're going to have basically two staffs to do it. So that's one reason why. And then it's like, you know, like October camp has 375 people in it. By the time we bring in our staff and everything, there's over 400 people there. So I just don't want to put that level of complication in there. So what I advise all of you to do is if you want the virtual experience, do the July one. And if you can't be there live, but you do want the recordings, if you buy the virtual camp, it will get the same recordings that all of the live attendees get when they pay to come to camp. So that would be my best suggestion. I'm not saying that we won't, but my gut is that for October we won't, simply because like it is just an endeavor to do these live events. Because I don't just like, seriously, there's a lot of live events out there right now, guys, you'll go to where they basically are just having a Zoom meeting and asking you to now chunk down some cash. And that's not how we do ours. We are filming things ahead of time. I'm creating really good workbooks, fresh content. We have to have a staff to do it. It took just for the one day one, and this isn't even a major one, the one day live virtual event had a staff of, I think there was 12 of us doing it. So it's, you know, there's a lot that goes on behind the scenes. Plus my cat threw up in the middle of it. I learned to pin luau up when we have a virtual event. Oh, is there a deadline to sign up for the virtual experience? I'm waiting to hear if something else on my calendar gets canceled or not for that weekend. You can register up until the last minute, but if you want the swag package mailed to you, you have to do it before June 22nd. I think that's going to be our date. Paula is finding out the final details now. For everybody that comes virtually, you're going to get your workbook and your swag package mailed to you. And so in order to mail that stuff, we have to order it a few weeks in advance. So like, you know, like there's like these deadlines that back up. A lot of people don't really like understand a lot of the stuff behind it. So I'm going to just explain it to you, but, we have to mail it out and we want to be able to mail it out to you like the week before everything happens to make sure people get them. And we do, a lot of times we mail priority and all that stuff. So we have to order stuff. So if you're actually going to want your package, otherwise you will just get a digital package if you register after our cutoff date. I think it's going to be June 22nd, but I'm not 100% sure. I'm frustrated that the scale is moving at only a half a pound a week. How do I push past this? Well, first of all, you're frustrated because of a thought. It's not because of what the scale's doing. So just make sure you're really clear on that, Elizabeth. So find your frustrating thoughts and then decide, if I don't want to be frustrated, how do I want to feel about a half a pound loss? If you want to be determined to make it a pound, then spending time in frustration just spirals you out. But spending time in determination will cause you to try new things on your action line. Or you could be satisfied with a half a pound. It just depends. Some people are very satisfied. Some people are not. This week's coaching call with Kathy was awesome. She coached on how you shouldn't... Sorry, hang on. My watch is telling me to get up and move. It is a Garmin. I saw y'all talking about it. She coached on how you shouldn't use the extra calories burned through exercise to justify little cheats. Can you expand on this? I'm assuming that advice is based around the need to still be self-disciplined or eating versus the idea that exercise does not help facilitate weight loss. Yeah, because if you exercise just to eat more, you're overeating. Boom and done. Your body's meant to move, all of you. It is meant to exercise and stuff. You don't get extra food for it. You know what? If you're hungry, your body will tell you. It defeats the purpose. If you're like exercising and you're like, oh, well, I exercise, I'm going to eat a little bit extra. It's like, what if you just wait till you're hungry? What if we just did that? That's all it means. I have to eat in the morning, hungry or not, to take meds. What would you recommend? I would just eat a little something, and I wouldn't eat anything entertaining. I would just a piece of toast or something, whatever you need to eat, or just make that your first meal, even if you're not hungry. Then you start your hunger scale after that. Is there a reason why I'm good at the paperwork, but I'm just not putting the actions in? How can I change this? It's like you've got to figure out what's going to motivate you to take the actions. So it's a lot of thinking about like, all right, in order, like I'm doing my paperwork, but am I, like, there's like doing the paperwork, and then there's like making sure that you're really doing the paperwork. It's like if you notice you just keep thinking like, well, I'm just going to think this every single day and that's not working, come up with new thoughts. If you keep saying I'm going to follow my hunger scale every day and you're not, you need to come up with strategies to try to, like, you need at least 15 ideas of how to figure out what your hunger scale is, how to wait for hunger. You need to come up with 15 to 20 ideas on how to stop eating, things to do. Like, you have to come, like, get real dialed on that stuff. I get anxious when I'm hungry. What can I do? You have to find the thoughts, Lisa, that are causing the anxiety. So what are you thinking that causes the anxiousness? Hunger doesn't cause anxiousness. Ever. You have thoughts about hunger and then you feel anxious. And you need to identify your thinking around it, because you can't fix it until you know how you're thinking about it. And then you have to look at it and you have to question it. I am eating dramatically, in all caps, less than I used to. And I am at 240 pounds and I keep thinking, how the fuck am I not skinny yet and barely losing? And oh my God, how much less will I have to eat when I'm below 200? Who knows? You may have to eat a lot less. You may not have to eat hardly any less. You don't know. So why do you care? Like, that's such you, like, I just want you to think, like, that might be my most useless thought of the day. Doesn't matter. I bet I'll figure it out when I get there. I've lost 45 pounds, but have been basically stalled for almost a year now. I've seen so many people post this stall after 40 or 50 pounds, and it seems like a common thing. I'm stuck. You're going to have to eat less. Here's the problem. You are, and we all do this. When I weighed 250, what I ate between 200 and 250 was dramatically less. But I was fucking eating my face off at 250. I was eating like a total asshole. Getting to losing weight was dramatically different, because I wasn't eating like I was like trying to like put on weight like a sumo wrestler. So thinking that it's dramatically less sucks for you. You just need to be thinking, right now, what I'm eating is probably what was always intended to maintain 240 pounds. I was eating like I wanted to gain weight for the NFL linebacker positions. Like, like, I want you to think about that. It's so easy to talk ourselves into, like, I'm eating so much less. It's like, your most useful thought right now is, for a year, I have gotten really good at eating at a maintenance level for 240 pounds. That is why I'm at a plateau. So what is it going to take? Do I need to change out some foods? Do I need to start, what am I willing to start experimenting with? Am I willing to let go of the idea that this is dramatically less than what I was eating? Or am I willing to embrace the idea this is a maintenance level amount of food and choices? And then, are you having any overeats, Colleen? A lot of things, a lot of you will say things like, oh, mama's hip is hurting. I did a bleacher workout. I hadn't done that in forever, y'all. Oh, fuck. I'm going to be sore as a bull tomorrow. I'm going to come up on that coaching call, barely able to get up and down out of that chair. Y'all, mark the words. But I want you guys to think about, when you're on those big stalls and stuff, a lot of times you guys start like, oh, I'm going to have to be hungry and I'm going to have to... Y'all go to all that when there's probably obvious offenders lurking. Do you have, in the last year, are you 100% dialed on waiting for hunger, stopping at 2 and never having an overeat, never eating off plan? If not, start with those things. Don't sit there and tell yourself, I'm going to have to eat less and be hungry and eat even less than this, and that's going to be whatever. It's like, start with your overeating. See about that. I can't get a handle on the negative 2. I don't think I'm able to determine when I'm actually hungry after decades of eating around the clock. By 4, I eat because I'm scared that I haven't eaten all day. Is that normal? Yes, it's very normal. That won't last very long, Contessa. I promise you, it will not last very long. What happens is when you first start with your, when you first start with dialing in your negative 2, if you've been eating for a long time without paying attention to your hunger, it's going to be a little muddy for a few days. Just let it be muddy for a few days. Challenge yourself to wait for your hunger. Eventually you'll start hearing it and it will start coming out at different times. What is Laura Massey talking about? I just got to read this. This is so medically. Stretch receptors in the stomach are only one way your body recognizes it has had enough, the satiety. It also sends back satiety signals based on a big long word that Crane can't pronounce and other hormones in reaction to the chemical composition of what you ate. I don't know what y'all are talking about, but boy, Laura Massey, you're just talking all sexy right now with your big words and your doctor stuff. And I'm just glad I got smart people in the tribe. Seriously. Oh, I loved your video on cereal. Could you do a lunch? Sure. I'll do one day. I'll film some of my stuff, y'all. Someone asked about stomach size of fist versus plus 2 as you lose weight. Yeah. Y'all listen to Laura. She's smart. She's one of my doctors. I just love you. Natalie, does eating my planned joy food when I'm not quite at a negative 2 still count towards 2 to 2? I would count it. So wait, let me read this one more time. Does eating my planned joy food when I'm not quite at negative 2 still count towards the 8 2 to 2 all day? Yes. Yes. That's different. If you're having an exception and you want to, have your planned joy, so this is a concept I used to teach a long time. If you guys are wondering what's planned joy, we don't really talk about planned joy anymore, but there's every now and then you're going to just have treats and you do not have to wait for hunger and all that kind of stuff. So the way that I like to think about it is if I'm going to have, let's say I'm going to have dessert or I'm going to have something, I do like to save room and I like to stop at my plus 2. But if I'm going to have planned nachos or something and it's a night that we're going to go out and I'm not necessarily hungry yet, I don't worry about that so much. I'm just okay, this is my this is my treat that I've planned and I've looked forward to this week and all the things. So it's okay. Now here's the thing about when it comes to the exception stuff. I like to wait until I'm hungry because one, you get to, you know, you do get to eat a little bit more of a food that you're really planning to eat. Number two is I just think there's more enjoyment, because I don't like to overeat my planned foods like that, because then it kind of dampens the experience for me if I'm going to have to deal with feeling full and burping it and all the things later too. It just opens the door for me to have to, it will trigger thoughts of guilt, or it will trigger thoughts of stuff like that for me. And I just try not to set myself up for things like that. I hear myself argue for my best self and then just shut her down and eat off plan anyway. How can I break this? So I hear myself argue for my best self and then shut her down. Practice more, Tanya. Don't give up on it. Just don't give up on it. Come up with some rules around when you're like going to argue for your best self, and you're like, and say it's going to be food related, say, and then once I have the conversation, and then I got to wait 10 minutes. And if I still want to eat, then I can, like, coming up with some stuff like that. I've been wanting nachos ever since I joined. I know, I talk about them all the time. I love cereal. Oh, y'all like my cereal video. Yeah, I love cereal. In fact, that's probably what I'm having for breakfast this morning. I have two options this morning. I can have watermelon and eggs, which Aunt JJ makes me this egg dish, or I can have my cereal this morning, because I haven't had breakfast and I had that bleacher workout. And let me just tell you, this call is an ending because this bitch is hungry. So, y'all, it's a good Q&A. Hope y'all enjoyed it. Welcome to all the newbies. I hope you're loving things here at the No BS Weight Loss Program. And I will see everybody. Here's one more. Do you reiterate your good, better, best over time? Right now, good equals ice cream, better equals halo top, best equals half a halo top. But the real best feels like it would be some yogurt or something. Depends on what your real best is. My real best for ice cream is halo top. You get to decide what that is. And yeah, you can go through and you can figure all that stuff out however you want to. It's really up to you. But I do, like, in fact, this morning I was like playing in the new planner and everything, and I was kind of just thinking about foods that I want to eat over the next few weeks. And I was like, I really want to get, like, I have not been eating my Halo Top this last month. And then this month, I really want to work on, we've been having like chips and stuff in the house, and I've been kind of including chips, and I just want to include more fruit this month. So, and especially because it's getting hot outside. So that was one of the things that I'm going to be doing this next month, is just kind of backing out, having so like nut thins or chips and things like that, and then just eating fruit with my meals. So that's like one little tweak. But for me, it was like, when I think about, I always call it my accoutrements. So if I'm going to have, let's say, a salad, and, you know, like if I want to have with my salad, like it used to be like a sugar-free pudding or something, right? Then my better was, well, let me have nut thins, you know, just some for some crunch or something. And then my best would be to have fruit. So like, I don't even always think of good, better, best as the actual version of a food. It's like sometimes good, better, best is about, like if I'm like wanting to have something with a sandwich, or I'm wanting to have something with a salad, or, you know, whatever, it's like, what would be a good, better, best sidecar for that? So just something to think about. All right. Y'all have a good one. I will see you guys tomorrow at noon for coaching over on Zoom, noon Central Time. And it's just open coaching. Talk to you later. Bye, y'all.